side track on this thing, but we're in the second chapter where Peter is instructing these Christians, possibly Jews who have become Christians, but the scripture speaks to all of us. And last week we talked about verse 10, where we come to the realization that we are the people of God. We were not the people of God before. In your unsaved, in an unregenerate state, you cannot be one of God's people. So you have to come through the process of the confession of sin, etc., into the kingdom. And then he reminded us in verse 11 and 12 that because we are strangers and pilgrims, that we should conduct ourselves differently. In our daily life, our conduct is markedly different from what goes on in the world. And what the world approves of, we, most of the time, we can't. Now, I've always had a strong disapproval of the use of alcohol. My strong disapproval is not against the moderate use of alcohol. My strong disapproval of the use of alcohol was because I had had to work with so many people who had been overcome by it. And that was down in the rescue mission and out on the streets, and just even people that somehow or other Lord brought across my path, even some parents we had of kids in the school where alcohol had become king, and as a result, their lives were destroyed. And so I was asked to serve on the jury one time, and the case was a case of a guy who got drunk in a restaurant. He got drunk in the restaurant and attacked the restaurant owner. He got arrested, taken to court and so forth, and now he's in there for trial. And his lawyer asked me this question, said, do you have an opposition to the use of alcohol? My response was no, but I do have an opposition to what it makes them do. So when they get into that state, that would be where the word abuse would come in, I guess. If you come into the abuse of anything, if you come into the point where it takes you over, then you need to get rid of it and take some other course of action. So he says, he tells us in verse 9 that we're this special people of his that dwell on the earth, and we are implanted by him into the church, that we are to conduct ourselves not as world citizens. We are citizens, in a way, of the United States of America, of the state of Ohio, the township of Bristol, or the city of Warren, or whatever it might be. But that is not our citizenship, actually. Our citizenship is actually in heaven, and that's where our eternal residence will be. This one will disappear, and we will go on. So after that, in verse 12, he has said to have our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works behold and glorify God in the day of visitation. One of the problems the church has had through history that we don't think about much are the accusations against it. Now, this would not go against a church that is pretty much going along with everything that's happening. But the churches that have determined to stand as firmly as they can on the scriptures and to govern themselves accordingly and to pass judgment on things that the world may be doing out of the scripture so that we have a scriptural judgment, those churches that don't do that, those churches are pretty much accepted in the world. Jesus said, if you were of the world would accept you. But because you are not of the world won't accept you. So the church has been accused many, many times of being the enemies of the state. And that happened in Rome early on when the church was being just starting out. And it's happened, you can go through various nations and see where the church was the enemy of the state. And that's what's happening here in America. In the United States, which, as I told you, no longer exists. There is no longer a United States of America. God possibly can restore it if he chooses. I didn't say possibly, probably, no, definitely can restore it if he so chooses. But as we live here today, the United States of America does not exist. The name exists. It's like he says, if you are a Christian in name only, you're not a Christian. The United States still has the name, and they go out to these ball games and they have somebody sing the national anthem, which they always sing only the first stanza. They ought to have them sing the last stanza, because the last stanza gives the credit to God for making us a nation and gives the credit to God for keeping us a nation, and that that's where our trust. And the reason we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave is because of God. So it'd be nice if somebody would come along and say, oh, it's my turn to sing. I want to sing this stanza instead of the first one. That even happened in our Christian basketball league. When I brought that to the attention of the director of the league, I said, look, you guys are singing the first one. Why don't you sing the last one? He didn't know it, so I gave it to him. I said, the next time before our game start, and you have somebody come and sing, have them sing this stanza. Didn't happen. So if I was officiating, and I would be the one up at midcourt because I would toss the center jump, I would be the one to lead in prayer. So I would recite the last stanza, and then as we went through the year, they would start reciting with me, but they only ever sang that. So our citizenship is here, and we're to live, because the accusation comes that we're enemies of the state. When Barack Obama recently, I can't remember the exact wording, but they're talking about these divisive groups in the country and the ones that are so strong, which he never identified. I'm sure that the true Church of Jesus Christ is one of them, because where do we stand on homosexuality? This man promotes it heavily. A whole lot of them in the political world promote it. A lot of the churches promote it. Where do we stand on it? We say it's an abomination, that it's a non-acceptable thing. And we go back in the Old Testament and say, what did King Josiah do? King Josiah drove them out of the land. All of them were driven out of the land. Well, if you were going to, wait a minute, the state said, you know, government approved, the state said thus and so. And if you take a stand against that, you become identified as an enemy of the state if they so choose to do it. So he said, whereas, have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation when Jesus comes, and they have to go stand in their judgment trial and be cast into hell, that they will glorify God and they'll see you standing there in the glory of redemption. Now, verse 13 is a tough one. Verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The word ordinance there actually is the word institution. And that would be, if you have institution, think of the constitutions of the various states and of the United States. This was the institution that was put into place after the War for Independence, when they were going to set out now to have this independent government. And this was drawn up, first of all, the Articles of Confederation, and then they came up with the Constitution, and then the Bill of Rights was put into it. That's the institution. Now, other institutions are within that, unfortunately, because within this federalism that came about, the states lost their positions. They no longer, even though they were guaranteed a Republican form of government, that was not granted to them, is still not granted to them. And even though the Bill of Rights says anything not specifically mentioned in the Constitution remains in the power of the state or the people, that's not recognized. So we have degenerated to the point where we have now become what is known as an oligarchy. An oligarchy is government by a very small number of people. In our case, we call it the Supreme Court of the United States. So that you have got these eight people now, nine and now eight. You have eight people, and it's really worse than this, because the eight people down there can take a case. Somebody files a lawsuit. That lawsuit goes to the Supreme Court. They are only supposed to rule on that case. Their ruling is on the law within this institution. So if you go there, the law is to be applied, and the case is either granted to somebody or denied to somebody. And that's where it stops. It was never intended that they would become a lawmaking body. So now when they decide that Barack Obama can put this medical thing on all the people by one guy, John Roberts, saying this is a tax, and therefore it's constitutional, then even though Obama's saying it's not a tax, one guy in a nation of 300 million plus, this one guy says, this is it. Now, he made the majority. Now, five said you have to, four said no, the five rule, and now all over the country, people are paying a price, and it's gonna continue to be paid until God somehow gives us a deliverance. This is the same with what they call gay marriage. All right, Supreme Court hears a case, and they hand down a ruling, and they say, this is all 50 states. All 50 of you have to do this. Incidentally, there are still states. There are still places where they are not recognizing that, and they will not grant a license to homosexuals. So the institution has basically been dumped. The checks and balances are no longer there. So he says, you be submissive to the institution. Now, I want to, because I want to go through a little outline here, but I want to read something from Ecclesiastes, because he says that we are to be subject to the institutions, all right? And there are others. If I go to the fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes, and in the eighth, and we can go verses 8 and 9. I'm reading King James, so he said this. If you see the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and they be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. Or if you go into the Hebrew Bibles, when you read it in the Hebrew or in the Septuagint, the way they translate that is a nation is really blessed when the king recognizes the value of the farmer and grants him this liberty to grow, because even the king is dependent on what comes off the field. So he said to the church, he said, if you see this going on, which we do, if you see this going on where there is a perversion of justice, and it's a violent perversion of justice, so that the purpose of government is defeated, marvel not. So I think there's kind of two things that he's saying there. The first is, don't you people know that every person is a sinner? And don't you know that every form of government, that human government that has ever been established on the earth, has eventually degenerated, no matter how good it was at the start, eventually degenerated because the people running it were corrupt people, governed by sin, governed by selfishness, and so they can, like a Hillary Clinton, or Bill too, because they both did it, they can go out and make these speeches whereby, these are secret speeches that they make, whereby they make promises to people and charge a fortune. And so they go from the White House in the terms of Bill broke, and in a year they're millionaires. That's not correct. That's wrong. But he said, don't understand. Every form of government, everywhere you are being run by sinful people. Therefore, those sinful people have no interest in the law of God. They can't have it because they have a carnal mind. And the carnal mind is always at war with God. So here's the church in this. And he said, marvel not. And secondly, the marvel is, don't get too worked up over it, because, well, now he lists here in the King James, he says, because the highest regardeth. So it's sort of a picture you have a president. The president appoints secretaries. Each of those secretaries manages a department. Each of those departments has so many people in it under them. It goes on down. And somewhere down the line, you have somebody in this department education. For instance, this year, Department of Education sent out a flyer early in the year, this is before summer, that kindergarten students coming into the schools were no longer to be referred to as a boy or a girl. They're no longer to be referred to as he or she. They are to be referred to by the identity they assume after they have been there a while. And now after they've been there a while, they've gone through this indoctrination process where they deny the Creator's creation. What did God make me? Oh, he made me a man. What did God make me? He made me a woman. Well, wait a minute, you can't do that. So down in this department somewhere down there, this ruling went out. I don't know how effective it's been and how much they're applying it, but they're not supposed to receive any federal funds if they don't. So he said, look, this happens. Now, mostly it's, we don't ever know about this. These are things that are secret unless the Lord somehow gives us a revelation. So he says, there's somebody higher. Now, I did some research trying to find a counter to the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, and the wicked spirits. Because we know about them. Those are satanic. So we say, well, the principalities, the White House of the United States, the capital of the United States, is directly under a principality. And that principality has great power, and however it functions, it gains control of the mind and causes these people to govern in a way that is less than right. They have the highest level, because that's the word principality, the Greek is arche, which means the highest level. This is first order. So since none of us actually have access to the region of angels, none of us really have full knowledge of what goes on. We sing, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, right? And we think about the angels encamping around about us. Or we read in Hebrews that God made the angels ministering spirits to those who would be heirs of salvation. And so in the scripture, we have this word given to us about the existence of these angels, but there's not any detail on it. When we get over to the satanic side of it, he specifies principalities, powers, or authorities. The word principality is arche, highest order, which is just stated in here. And then the word powers is authorities. Those would be governors under, in a structure, federal government. You have the House, the Senate, the President, and the Court. So you have those three branches of government. Down below that, you have these others. Then you hit that one, the rulers of this world's darkness. And that's education. And it's education, no matter how simple. It's a little political cartoon that you look at. And there's a message coming off of that cartoon. It's being promoted a whole lot of the time by these rulers of darkness. And those have governing authority over the production of textbooks, encyclopedias, movies, you name it, anything that communicates. So we go over there and we see, wait a minute, he tells us about these beings that we're wrestling against. And then the last ones are these wicked spirits, which are demons, which we know exist because Christ cast them out. The demoniac was full, Jesus delivered him. There are others that had demon that made him couldn't talk, couldn't hear, you know, deaf and dumb. The demons, so he said, over here, we have all these. So I said, well, Lord, when I get down to that verse and it says there's a higher. I don't see anywhere in the scripture where you elaborate that fully on the angelic side from your side of it. We see Gabriel and we see Michael. Now, the Jews, of course, have a whole thing on angelology and they got all kinds of names that they use that none of us can verify because they're not in here. But wait, those are the only two we read about, and we read about Michael coming to assist Gabriel. When Gabriel's trying to take a simple message to Daniel, he's encountered by the prince of Persia, this principality that was over top of Persia, and he engages him in warfare till Michael comes, and Michael makes war, and they conquer that prince. And then he brings the the answer to prayer to Daniel. But I can't find anywhere other than that, I can't find anything to elaborate for us where there is an angelic assistance other than these brief comments. The angels are ministering spirits to those who are heirs of salvation. So obviously they're doing something. We just don't are not clue, we don't have a clue. So when we sing, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him," we're in a choice position. We have to either have to accept that we really are, because the word said so, or we have to be doubters. I don't know about that, you know. Or what would they do? How would an angel come? We're told in the Gospels that one of the reasons we're kind to people is because you may have entertained an angel unaware. That might have been an angel set. And I've heard people say that. So here we are in this nation, and we look at what's going on, and we say, we got these two things. He said in Ecclesiastes, when you see it, don't get yourself all worked up, because there is a higher. And at the end of that, which I didn't read, he said, they're going to answer to God. They can, what he said here, your conversation is honest. They might declare you an enemy of the state here, but that making of you an enemy of the state is going to take you to glory. And I don't know how many martyrs have been. We can go and read Fox's Book of Martyrs and read about different persecutions and the martyrdoms. We don't really know how many have been martyred that have never been reported. And it could happen to us. So you focus on your attentive relationship to Christ and the Word of God in you. So now he says, submit yourselves to these ordinances. So I did a little outline, and I borrowed some of this. I told Betty the English Standard Version is now becoming available in what they call the global, and I don't remember the middle word, the global, I think it's the Global Study Bible. I think that's what they call it. Now, when you hear global, mostly what you think of global, you think of one world government, things of that nature. But what these guys are trying to do is they're trying to get this Bible in the English Standard Version with footnotes, cross-references, and make it available to all of the English-speaking people in the world. So wherever there's a nation that's their maiden language, they would make this Bible available. Now, they of course, they're going to sell it, but for every one that they sell, they give one away. Now, it's not in print. So it's in their head, something they're working on. You actually can get into it online a little bit, not in its entirety, but there are some little commentaries in there that would be found in the Bible. So I have just 4 points to make, and then I will be done. First of all, that human authority, every human authority, not just civil government as we think of it, all human authority is divinely created. It's created by God. Now, if you want to look at Romans, the 13th chapter, that's the one we normally go to when we're going to talk about government. So I got to do a couple of different things here at one time. Romans chapter 13. Now, he's talking specifically here about civil government. He's not talking about family or church or anything, but the same is true. It said, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. There is no power but of God. There is no authority. The word there is authority. There is no authority but of God. So where does a parent get the authority to discipline a child? He gets it from God. How does he know he gets it from God? Because it's clearly stated in the scriptures. Even in the Proverbs, he goes into some detail. If you have a child that's acting in a certain way, if a child is rebellious, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, it has to be a rod of correction. What we talk about is punishment. They call it corporal punishment. It's not supposed to be corporal punishment. It's supposed to be corporal correction. That the rod is used sufficiently with counsel, because if you're going to, quote, spank a child, how does a child know why you're spanking them? Because you're going to teach the child they've broken the law of God, right? Okay, why am I spanking you? Well, God here has commanded me. Well, what did you do that deserves a spanking? Well, here's the law of God, and here's what you did. You broke the law. I am under the divine command. I can't break the law of God by not disciplining you. So I am under the law of God. I have to, and I'm going to pass out here in a second. So let me stop, okay? I'm going to have to discontinue and go sit down. I'll finish this next week.